This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Batter up off the fair pole. Hey now, 3-run homer, Aaron Judge.
The Rich Eisen Show.
What are the Browns doing? Is it Shador now?
The expectation would be that he is going to be the one who backs up Dylan Gabriel.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, TNF analysts Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth. Falcons running back Bijan Robinson. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Jon Bon Jovi. And now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Bijan Robinson is coming up later on this hour. Jon Bon Jovi is making his way to our studio.
Man, that's awesome.
In hour number 3. That is happening today. That is happening.
So sick.
But I'm sorry. Bon Jovi's heard this before, I'm sure. Nothing's bigger than my power rankings.
I don't know. It's Bon Jovi, Rich. He wrote Living on a Prayer.
Rich, you are, yeah.
Actually, he's the one who's prayer living. And I've got my power rankings, all right?
It's Rich's life.
Anyway,
we're halfway there, guys.
Wow. You know what I mean? Well, that's coming up in the middle of this hour.
We'll be
halfway
there.
This 3-hour show. Bijan Robinson's coming up, basically. But let's get right to it.
Are you sure that's how you say it?
We'll ask him, because this Bijan thing is freaking me out.
Yeah.
Okay? It's messing with my livelihood.
And you're a professional. You need to know these things, man.
I'm lead pipe wielding, as you know.
Man.
There's injury news coming out for the Thursday night football game that these gents are making their way to in a bus. And we'll get to that Giants-Eagles stuff later on, where the Eagles are having little chit-chats with the quarterback and running back and wide receiver. Wait to hear the soundbite of Brian Daboll throwing some passive-aggressive shade down the turnpike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a let's bake Baker Mayfield from his podium. That's coming up later on, but let's get to our guys. They're making their way on a bus from Los Angeles, where last week's Thursday night football game was, to MetLife, where this Thursday's football game is. Their podcast is outstanding. It's called Fitz and Wit, and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth themselves are joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show from a bus. Good to see you guys. How are you?
What's going on, Rich? We're surviving, Rich. We're surviving.
So, listen, I'm just going to be straight up with you guys. As you know, I've got lots to promote. I've got this show. I've got NFL Network, and I'm not doing that to say anything other than the fact that I could not imagine promoting anything that I do by driving across the country in a bus. I just won't do it. I just don't understand what you guys are doing. I understand it's attention getting. I understand that you've stopped in some interesting spots, certainly personal spots to you guys. But what are you doing? It's basically what I'm saying right now. What are you doing?
Well, Rich, it's one of those things. You got to be careful what you say you're willing to do. So we went to the Amazon NASCAR coverage this summer. We had a blast, mm-hmm. and we got back and we're just telling Spoon, our producer, like, that was so much fun, we kind of want to get an RV and do something like that next year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what if you guys did a Thursday night football to Thursday night football game? We're like, oh, that would be awesome, we'd love to do that. And then lo and behold, a month later, he said, we actually got you guys a bus and you're doing it. We're like, wait, did we say we would do it? I guess we did. Mm-hmm. So we're in. Okay. So here we are.
Okay. I'm just looking at some other Thursday night football visits you could have done a lot closer than Los Angeles to New Jersey.
That's a whole lot more. Not as cool. Rich.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like looking right here. I'm glad you've done it because obviously it's interesting. And two, is it true you stopped at a certain fast food establishment that has a history for one of you two? Is that true?
Well, that was part of it. We were in St. Louis, which uh-huh. is where I was drafted, and mm-hmm. I was engaged at McDonald's. And so I was able to bring Andrew into the exact booth that I got engaged at. Unfortunately, it's been renovated a little bit. Great part about it, it's still connected to a gas station.
So I had to walk
through the gas station to get to the booth. But yeah, there's been a lot of good memories. Look at this one here, Rich.
What do we have?
We ate at a barbecue joint, Eli's in Cincinnati yesterday. This was on the wall, $350 bucks. The best $350 I've ever spent, besides maybe this cowboy hat. We've been having a good time. A lot of good stops.
Okay. Is that you, Andrew? That's
it is.
It's wrong. What is somebody, that? What is that? Is it a paint by numbers? Yeah, what do we have here? What do we have?
It's a painting of Andrew. His beard's just starting to go gray, so we figured this was 2013,
somewhere in there.
Okay, was that from the game where you got ejected because Fitz got involved in something and then ran away, and you're the one who got the gate, not him? Is that from that game?
No, this is years later. I wasn't speaking to Fitz at this point. This is post the fight getting ejected.
Rich, another thing that we did though, we stopped by the Utah Jazz practice facility. This dude, he looks like Sam Perkins. Like, I mean, he hit 8 3-pointers in a row.
Really?
When we walked into the gym. Jason Terry was there just shaking his head going,
Jason Terry liked my game.
Yeah,
he liked my game.
Damn. Are you serious? You've got like Karl Anthony Towns, big man with a 3-point game? Is that what you're saying?
I got a little touch, Rich. I mean, you don't have 4 kids for nothing. You know what I mean? I got a little touch. What do you want me to say?
Okay.
Well, what he doesn't have, he tried to ice skate too with the man.
I don't have any skating skills.
Didn't go very well.
No skating skills.
We're learning a lot about each other.
So, is this bus moving right now, by the way? Are you moving?
Rich, we're rolling. Yes. Come on, baby.
This is incredible.
I literally thought you were stopped doing this, but you're like shaking up and down a little bit. So, where are you literally right now?
We're almost to Philadelphia. We're headed to go meet up with Jordan Mulata and Lane Johnson.
Okay.
So we're going to go meet up with those guys, bring them on the bus, show them a little bit.
Okay. So then this is a perfect segue. What do you think is going on in that locker room right now? There always seems to be like a simmer. I don't know if that's a Philadelphia thing or not. When you're just wondering underneath that lid, is it boiling? Is it boiling over? You know what I mean? You're picking up what I'm saying about this team?
Yeah, but I mean, it was at a simmer last year too, and they won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, this team, they're just so talented. And I think the great thing about the Eagles is they're going to have time to work through this stuff and they'll continue to win football games. New offensive coordinator in Kevin Petullo this year, they're breaking in some new stuff there. His relationship with Jalen Hurts. And then the receivers, they're going to find some things that work for them. Saquon's going to get going. But the great thing is they're so talented on offense and defense that they're going to continue to win games as they work through some of this.
You feel the same way?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. Yeah, I do. But I mean, we forget last year this team was 2-2, and at the bye week they were having kumbaya meetings. So, we were right here in this spot last year. But the only difference is this year they have a better record. They've already earned the opportunity to miss some games if they have to. But the truth is they're 4-1. They got a schedule that shows they play the Giants twice over the next 3 weeks and the Minnesota Vikings. So then they go into their bye. I mean, they have a real opportunity to be 7-1. And I mean, listen, I'll take all the problems in the world to be 7-1. That would be a great thing to be. So to me, I think when you look at this football team, it's what Fitz just said. I mean, up front, they still have a ton of talent. They still have a lot of guys on the outside that can play. Jalen Hurts proved what he can do in the biggest moments. So I think this is one of those things that when a team's really special and good, we did this to the Chiefs for years. We'd sit here and say the Chiefs aren't going to win. The Chiefs have problems. The Chiefs have issues. And the next thing you know, they're still winning Super Bowls and they're still playing in AFC championships every year. I think Philly's one of those teams. They're really good, so we love to pick them apart. But the reality is they're 4-1. They just lost their first game. So I think we need more to see, them struggle and see some of these things actually come to life and be things that hurt them as a football team for us to really judge them right now.
Just to be sure, when you say you're in the same spot as exactly as last year, you're talking about an Eagles visit to the Giants on a Thursday night game, not on a rolling vehicle where you're flushing your human waste using a foot pedal, right? Is that what you're saying?
You know, we've had a rule. We had a rule. We had a rule that we had to break yesterday. No number twos on the bus.
Oh, gosh.
Here we're making plenty of stops. Yeah.
So the rule got broken in case of emergency? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we have a Keurig on the bus, too, so there's a few too many coffees that were had, yes.
That was what
I'm putting down.
That wasn't post St. Louis fast food, was it? No?
We went to a horse farm in Lexington, Kentucky. So
we did. Got a little horse.
Yeah, that was seeing Andrew Whitworth on a horse is also quite the sight.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andrew Whitworth, you also get to enjoy these guys, not just on Thursday Night Football, but Fitz and Wit, the podcast that they've been doing for quite some time. New episodes every Wednesday on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast through Wave Sports Entertainment. So I guess, which is the best team right now in the NFL through 5 weeks? Which one? Who do you got for me? I got a power rankings that I'm doing later on.
And you know what? I think it may be the team that started the season the worst.
Detroit
Lions. I think the Detroit Lions right now might be the best team.
All right. I'm still going to stick with the Buffalo Bills, even though they lost.
So that's your Super Bowl pick. Lions Bills.
Sure. Yeah. Right. It looks good now. I had Baltimore pretty high too, but you know, I think we're all wrong about that one, Rich.
Well, I know they're 1-4, and I think they're going to be 1-5, and then they got a bye, and
they got the bye week.
I know that, and so we're assuming Lamar's going to come back at that point. Roquan won't be too far behind, one would think, and suddenly now they can, obviously going ahead and losing only once or twice the rest of the way is a tall order. But don't you think if any team could do it, it would be them and winning the division anyway?
I do, but. Yeah, if you're giving up 40 points a game, it becomes very difficult to win football games. So they've got to get some stuff figured out on the defensive end.
And so you like the Lions the best. And so which team outside of the Ravens that had Super Bowl aspirations in your mind, or might still, it gives you the most concern right now?
You know what? I've given this opinion for the last 2.5 years. The Chiefs concern me. And they've proven me wrong over and over and over again, but it just seems like a different Chiefs team this year. And you know, this is obviously coming off the loss, them being 2-3. But I don't think it's going to end well for the Chiefs this year.
You agree with?
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be that year. I think that when you look at it, I think this Broncos team is surging. They're getting better and better. Bo Nix, in every experience, you can see more and more who he is and why Sean Payton believes in him so much. And I think when you look at them, how they play on the defensive line, the offensive line, I see them as a team that could cause some noise in this thing as it goes, because they are built to win playoff football. When you can protect the quarterback, you can run it well. And then defensively, you can get after the quarterback on the other side of the ball. Nick Benito, man, what a special football player he is and how he started this season. I think that you look at them, I see them as a team that could creep up in there, and they match up really well against some of these contenders we're talking about, because they are really good at a lot of spots, but they're one of the most important ones, defensive line and offensive line. They can play with anybody, and they just showed that last week against the Eagles.
And you just saw the Niners last week at 4-1, shorthanded, Mac Jones doing what he is doing. How dangerous do you think the Niners can be long term? I know Nick Bosa is out, but we're going to get some other guys back, and they are going to be operating from a 4-1 base.
Yeah, I think it's one of those teams that, to me, I look at it like what the Lions did last year when they lost Aiden Hutchinson. You know, could you see the Niners try to go out and try to find some way to replace him with another guy through a trade before the deadline? Because when you look at this, they've been down this many guys. They're still they still have this opportunity where they're leading their division. They're 4-1, and they've got an opportunity to go really get ahead of things. As guys get healthier, they've already got the lead. They're only going to get better. And when you survive moments like that, I think the resilience your football team, the energy, the belief they have that every week we can go out and win, you've already proven that, and now you're only going to get healthier, and that's only going to get easier to go out and compete at a really high level as Kittle and some of these guys come back. And then we'll be interested to see as Ayuk, if he ends up coming back later this season as a part of this thing. Man, if they can get one more guy on that defensive line front that could get after the quarterback, this team is proven, because I think the Rams are a really good team, and I think they're one of the top NFC contenders. To be able to go out and beat them on Thursday, I think they've shown who they are, and if they get healthy, man, watch out for the Niners.
Okay, so last day on the bus, right? This is it, correct?
Last day,
Rich. Yeah, we got to make some decisions, though. We may just willfully sleep on the bus Wednesday night too. We'll see. You know,
we have not missed a night. We have hotels nearby. Doesn't matter. We stayed on the bus. We've committed to our goal, and we've reached it. So now it's kind of feels like, Rich, we might just need to sleep outside MetLife in the bus. I mean, just you know, forget the New York City hotel. You know, I mean, who cares?
Please tell me how Al Michaels reacted when he heard you were doing this. Can you tell me? How he reacted when
I think he said he'd throw an orange down to us when he flew over us in his jet. So, He didn't believe it. That's for sure.
He loves his red wine. I know it. And so do I. I just wonder how blackout he would have to be in order to consider even doing this for 5 seconds, what you were doing for 5 days.
We'd like to walk him through the bus, though. We'll walk him through the bus. We'll offer him some beef jerky.
That's
a little bit left.
Now that would be content I would consume in 2 seconds flat.
Getting him up on the top bunk in the
You know, but your next Thursday night game's in Cincinnati. You know, we could just go back. You could the bus knows where how to get there. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
I can get him.
All right, last one.
For the sakes of our marriage, we're gonna fly back.
Perfect segue to how I finish this. Fitz, walk me through the process of why there was a proposal to your wife in a McDonald's and how you did it. Was it in a Big Mac box and you just opened it? Like what was it?
Keep in mind, Rich, I want to set the scene.
Please.
It's a McDonald's and a gas station. And not only that, but the McDonald's actually windows face the pumps. So it's a beautiful, romantic,
like a lot of action.
You're kind of getting a chance to watch everybody pump their gas as you eat your cheeseburger.
Sure.
Let's just say I got stuck in a very sticky situation where from the store that we were at to our home, I had to propose because there was an error on a bank statement she wanted to go check at home. She was going to see the ring was purchased.
Got it.
So I asked her, do you want to go to Fleming's, Ruth Chris, a steakhouse? Sure. Do you want to go sit by the lake? No, it's November. It's cold. I don't want to do that. Let's go to McDonald's. Okay, yes, McDonald's. She went with a 2-cheeseburger meal and 6 nuggets. So I decided to do it between the second and third nugget with the sweet and sour on her fingers.
Well done. Pro move.
And you know, the ring was bigger than a nugget, right? Just like what Travis gave to his intended. Yes. No.
You know what? I was a rookie. I was but it did slip right on with that sweet and sour sauce on the finger. I'll tell you that.
Guys, great to see you. Hang in there. Sorry that your rule got broken. You know, things happen. And
part of the rule.
The Fitz and Wit podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. Again, every Wednesday on YouTube are new episodes. And then there's Thursday Night Football. Enjoy that in MetLife and then beyond. Always great to see you guys. I'll have you back together, individually, however you wish, anytime here.
All right, if we decide to do this again next year, we'll invite you. It feels like you feel like you're missing out a little bit, Rich.
I'll be straight up with you right now. I've got something to do. I don't know what it is, but I will have something to do. Yeah. I'm in the Al Michaels camp. Brother. I am flat out in the Al Michaels camp. But yeah, I think you guys already sense that about me, you know?
Well,
ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andrew Whitler here on the Rich Eisen Show. Delightful humans. All right, let's take a break. Bijan Robinson is about to join us on this program on Disney Plus, the ESPN app and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. There's also been an announcement made in Cincinnati as to who is starting against Green Bay. Oh, it's all popping. Just like the bus that Fitz and Wit is on.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, on the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Our friend Bijan Robinson from the Falcons, courtesy of Colgate. We've been chopping it up with him on our TV-only segment. Just help me out here, man, because when we first met, you're like, call me Bijan. And then during the spring, I'm hearing through the grapevine, it's Bijan. He wants to be called Bijan. And then Tirico and Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football earlier this year, and you're back on Sunday Night Football this weekend. I mean, Tirico never gets anything wrong, and he starts calling you Bijan. I'm like, what's up with that? And he then says, you then green-lighted Bijan again. Can you help me with this?
Yeah, so
sir,
in the summer, you know, the NFL, I was on the NFL Network, and they came to practice, and they're like, you know, how do you pronounce your name so everybody can know? And I just said, like, I pronounce it Bijan, but my mom, you know, her pronunciation for it is Bijan. And I mean, since that moment, like, yeah, it's became like a really big deal everywhere, to the point where, like, I have just random people, like, they'll call my name and then they'll like correct it because they don't know. So you know, it's I always just say, like, it's however you want to say it. It's however it sounds good to you. And, you know, if Bijan is the way you want to go, like, that's how it's been said for a long time in my life. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's I know it's became a thing, but however it sounds good to you, like, I'm all for it.
Well, again, I just want to make you happy. You know what I mean? Like, you're coming on this program. I don't want to antagonize you. And again, you're on Monday Night Football this week. And pardon me to my friends at Disney. You're taking on Buffalo at home, and then you're at San Francisco on Sunday night. Your next two games are on national television. And your last game that you had before your bye was the first time ever in which you, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown all in the same game. Are you aware of that, Bijan?
I wasn't aware of that before that happened. And then obviously, like, after that, they told us, and I was like, you know, let's try to make this a continual thing every, you know, 1 week at a time, man. Cause I feel like when we all start to become clicking and all start to do stuff like that, then, you know, we just become super hard to stop. So, you know, it's definitely a cool accomplishment that it happened. Obviously it happened in year three for me, but, you know, it has happened at some point.
Do you feel as if something clicked in potentially in week four with Michael Penix at quarterback and then the three of you guys at your positions?
Yeah. I mean, we just did all the little details right. You know, it wasn't just us. Like, with the O-line that we have, you know, they're so explosive. And not only that, they help all of us on the field, but, you know, just help the Mike back there, you know, have time to throw the football. You know, me, you know, finding holes, finding open creases to run through. Like, those are the guys that set it all apart. Those are the guys that make it all go. But when they're going, then that's when stuff like that can happen. And that's when we can all just get in the end zone and help this offense become like the best that it can become.
Has the game slowed down for you since you left the campus in Austin?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How so?
I mean, from the running game to the passing game, like, I always tell people, you know, the first year when I'm in college, you know, everything's fast. Everything's super fast. The play calls are fast. Me trying to, you know, get my run reads, like, everything's going. Then when that second year hits, you know, that's when things start to slow down. That's when things start to, you know, open up little by little. You're starting to get more comfortable. But then when that third year comes, then everything's coming to you the right way. Everything's slowed down. You know, it looks like you're playing in college, in high school when you're in college. And then for me, like, now that I'm in my third year here, like, the whole game slowed down. Now I can, you know, be comfortable in all my run reads and, you know, in the pass game, my route running, route technique. So obviously I have so much work to do still. Like, I'm continuing to learn. I'm continuing to get better. I'm continuing to, you know, perfect my craft and all aspects of my game. But yeah, the game slowed down. For
like,
sure.
What? Damn. Now there's another follow up. Like what do you need? Do you feel like you need, you can get better at than you already are right now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, like, me playing receiver now, like, my route details, you know, I'm trying to learn as much as I can from, like, Drake, Mooney, Kyle, you know, Ray, like, all these guys, like, I'm continuing to learn from them. And, you know, they're teaching me on the fly, like, you know, how to run a couple routes, how to run the routes that they run. And then obviously in the run game, like, always trying to perfect my eyes, you know. Yeah, like, God's given me a gift to do this, but, like, always trying to perfect my run reads and, you know, trying to manipulate linebackers in practice so I can do it in the game and set up blocks for my O-line, for the tight ends. And then, you know, just always just in pass protection, like, making sure that I'm striking first and, you know, making sure that I'm just knowing where the protection is coming from, where the signals are coming from, and me just knowing everything before the play even starts and all aspects of my game. Like, that's what I'm trying to continue to perfect. So those are the things that I'm trying to be great at, and I got to continue to do it 1 week at a time.
Well, I mean, your next two games, your counterparts on the other sidelines are named James Cook and Christian McCaffrey. Does that something that factors into your thinking? That the other team has that guy. I need to be the guy for me.
Yeah. And, you know, my respect for both of those guys is tremendous. It's huge. Like, I watch their game and I watch them week to week, and, you know, they're always super impressive every time they step on the field. But for me, like, you know, it's a competition. So it's who executes the right way. It's who executes at a higher level of that game. And, you know, obviously we're in practice, you know, trying to perfect everything that we can to be at our best for the Monday night game and for Sunday night game coming right after that. But, you know, I'm excited to play against those guys, and I'm excited to get to share the field with them, and just to play at a really high level on these next couple games coming up.
And I know my time is limited with you as you're going on a tour for Colgate here. What advice do you have for Arch Manning, sir, right now?
Yeah, I would say just continue to stay consistent. You know, stay consistent as much as possible. You know, don't listen to the media, because the media can either steer you in the right direction or it'll tarnish you for your career. So for him, like, always know that everybody has his back in that building, and Coach Sark continues to have his back. Everybody around him has his back. But, you know, I think it's not just him, it's the whole team. Like, the whole offense has to come together, especially this week playing against Oklahoma. Like, this is going to be a really big game for not just Texas as a program, but those individual players. Like, these are really big games for them. So they got to, you know, hone in and become player led and become, you know, who they want to become this week. So, you know, my advice to them is just, you know, put their head down, you know, stay out of the outside noise, and just go on that field on Saturday and show everybody what they can do.
Yeah, I asked that question of Tim Tebow a couple of weeks ago, and he said his advice for Arch, and this is before obviously what happened against Florida, saying just go back to the time where all you cared about was in the backyard loving football. That's what he said. You know,
that's it. Like, don't think about what you can be, who you can be. Like, think about who you are now, and then everything else will take care of itself, because you're the one on that field, and you've been blessed to be on that field. So, you know, everybody needs to play that way so they can, you know, maximize their efforts to get the wins.
Bijan, thank you so much. I prefer Bijan, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's
you know, and Colgate is pronounced just Colgate, right? Like, that's just straight up, correct? We got that?
I would hope so.
Okay, very good. And I appreciate those at Colgate making you available. I'll take you even when you're not on a tour or anything like that. You know, you're one of my favorites. And I appreciate you joining here, and I look forward to seeing your commercial for Colgate on Thursday Night Football, and then seeing you doing your thing with your oral hygiene all handled on Monday night against the Bills.
Yes, sir, Rich. No, I appreciate you for having me, as always.
You got it.
Good talking to you, man.
You got it. That's Bijan Robinson, one of the best in the business for the Atlanta Falcons, courtesy of Colgate, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's interesting. It's him speaking about Texas versus Oklahoma, that you could say that's the case in the NFC South as well, right? With Baker.
Oh, nice.
Being like the quarterback there. And they don't play each other again until week 15 on a Thursday night, right? So week 15, Thursday night.
Ooh.
Keep that in mind. Just put a pin in that Thursday night, and keeping an eye out for me in other different places.
Oh.
On that night. Just dropping a breadcrumb.
Interesting.
Dropping a breadcrumb. Maybe in a way that you saw me in August. Just throwing these breadcrumbs out there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So an announcement has been made in Cincinnati. We were on the air just right around this time yesterday, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we already heard from Kevin Stefanski earlier in this program of when he said about when asked if Shador is going to be his second string quarterback. And he's just like, hey, everybody, it was enough of a process to decide if Dillon Gabriel was ready to be a starter. You know, I've got to take my time. We got to think about what's best for the team, what's best for the player, and whose development we're invested. It wasn't an immediate yes. It wasn't an immediate no. It was like, let's just wait and see. And the reason why he said it in that way also is he said they had just learned, they were surprised by the trade yesterday. And the initial thought I heard when I heard that soundbite from Stefanski was like, was he not consulted?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right. But he then added, the Bengals called them.
Right.
The Bengals called them, and I guess the deal was too good to pass up, that they immediately, because I imagine the Bengals would be like, now or never.
Yeah.
Like, clock's ticking. Especially if they were going to acquire Flacco to start him right away. Which apparently is, in fact, the plan.
Wow.
So Flacco is going to start against the Bengals. He was in Berea on a flight home from London earlier this week. He's probably showing up crack of dawn on a Monday, and it's now, hey, I'm moving to Cincinnati on a Tuesday. And then on a Wednesday, he's named the starter by the head coach for Sunday's game in Green Bay. Zach Taylor was asked about it.
Excited to get him out there. We'll start him this week, so he's going to take all the reps, get ready to go. I mean, it's different than a young quarterback coming in, trying to learn a system and understand what a defense is trying to do to challenge you. Not only that, but he's played Green Bay this year, so he's already gone through a week of prep. So that's the nice part is now the communication and the weekly rhythm is maybe different, unique, but he's already prepared for this opponent. So he gets a chance to refresh himself on that while at the same time just learning our system and our terminology and our verbiage and how we operate, but also knowing that he's played. Now he hasn't played there this year, so the crowd noise and all that stuff's different, but at least he's got some experience playing with him.
Sure enough, yes, Flacco's only win as a Browns quarterback this year came against Green Bay. Really, the defense was the one that kept him in a game while the right. offense sputtered until the very end when they got some points enough to win it.
Exactly.
Normally, when you have a chance to beat the Packers twice in a year, you're playing in their division. You're playing in the NFC North, not the AFC North, but that's the way this is going. And it can only go two ways, I consider this. All right. It can only go two ways. It can work out really well. Like, he's showing up and this offense suits him, and that's Ja'Marr Chase and that is T. Higgins, and the scheme has been the scheme and these guys have been open, and Jake Browning has just not delivered it in a way that Flacco is veteran enough to do it. And it's going to look like clockwork, like he's been there all along. Or the offensive line that has been a massive question mark in the Joe Burrow era, including a handful of times during the Jake Browning era of 2025. This is the absolute worst, you know, what did you say, iron deer on the front lawn that you could put in there. And this with a certain individual coming off of a bye week, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys. This guy, all rested and his back is ready to go, coming off the bye week.
Macca
is coming. And it's going to be a spectacular flame out. I don't think there's any gray area here on this one. Now, that said, no. I will fully admit this. Again, for those who might be new to our program here. We turn... 11 years old earlier
11,
this week. And in the 11-year history of the program, my worst take, hands down, still a clubhouse leader, was during the bubble year of the NBA Finals, and the Miami Heat performed so well, only to fall to the Anthony Davis, LeBron-led Lakers. And the word on the street was the Heat were interested in Giannis, and I'm like, the way they just played with Tyler Hero, that kid, and Jimmy Butler and everybody, for Coach Spo, don't trade for Giannis. Worst take I've ever
don't
had.
Do it,
right?
Yeah.
Correct? Don't trade for Giannis.
It almost made my head explode.
Right. You made that. And you guys were like, don't say that.
Yeah.
You said it for and like I kept with 3 days. With such and on conviction. The third day, I couldn't hold back. The first 2 days, I was like, I don't know.
You're being kind. You're being kind.
I don't know if I had the right to say
this. Especially because Giannis was 25 at the time coming off.
No, yeah. Eventually you were thinking of taking the car keys away. Yeah. I understand.
I was going to call Susie, make sure everything was cool with him.
I know. And she was even saying something at home, like, what is happening at work? Are you okay?
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what Bruce Arians was referring to, but that has been firmly ensconced in the clubhouse. But knocking on the clubhouse door,
it's coming close,
is me saying Jake Browning's better than a third of the starting quarterbacks of the National Football League based on what he did in 2023 and how he's going to take in the opportunity here in 2025 to fill in for Joe Burrow, and the Bengals season is not over, and he's going to show up and show out. And now he's been immediately benched by a 40-year-old quarterback that was benched by a now 1-4 team.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
That's, now, that's maybe what Bruce Arians was referring to
in advance. Pass.
So I see you all out there saying, didn't you say this about Jake Browning? I did.
Well, the thing is, you were pretty adamant. You didn't want to. We tried to, again, tried to help you.
May I parse it? May I parse it? May I parse it?
I don't know what parse means.
Means,
but sure.
Means let me, you know, split it up a little bit. Let me
parse it up.
Yeah, let me split it up.
I know.
I said that the season was not over, which it is not. They're just 2-3.
I mean, that's true.
Guys,
that's higher register.
I know. No, that's not higher register.
They are 2-3.
That's a fact.
They are 2-3.
And I'm,
season is not.
I was going higher register for emphasis, not to try and make me believe what I'm saying. Yeah. They are just 2-3, a game out of the wild card spot in the AFC. Yeah, that's all they are.
That might be technically true.
It is not technically true. It is. Actually true.
Technically true, but we watched the game.
Actually true. With still, they're still healthy, right? Jamar Chase and T. Higgins still, they're going to start, right? They're going to both be out there, right? They're going to threaten the defense of the Green Bay Packers, correct?
How do they get the ball?
Okay, so I don't know.
Flacco season, baby.
The season's not over. Jake Browning being the guy to prove that the season's not over, way off. I mean, way, way off.
Donkey!
Wow.
Wow.
Donkey off. Yeah. Does that mean I'm the donkey? Is that what you're saying, Mike? Okay. So that's the latest. The Bengals are so done with Jake Browning. They call the Browns to say, we'll take your benched quarterback and give you a draft choice that you can't even turn down. Wait a minute. You're going to give us a fifth? We could draft the best quarterback out of Colorado with that. Just like we did last year, we'll elevate him to the second string position, unless we won't. We'll figure it out for the rest of the week, but send Joe to Cincinnati. We'll send him in division.
I mean.
Yeah.
And they're going to just get him off the bus, hand him the playbook, and say, you've been through these wars enough. Go find one, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. And Chase Brown.
That's it.
And to the offensive line. I mean, it's time. This is on you. This one's on you. It's not on the 40-something guy that just is probably looking for, an Airbnb to crash in this week in Cincinnati?
Hey, I'm sure they put him up in a Motel 6, Rich.
Is he staying in Jeff Driscoll's house, his old house? The only other quarterback ever to start for the Browns and the Bengals?
Yeah, Joe Burrow's probably got some room in his crib.
I mean, whatever.
You know what I mean?
Right, the Bat Cave?
Yeah.
Just, there you can start him. That's how they're so done with Jake Browning. And I'm done with that take.
Uh-oh. Oh, good.
I'm done. I'm turning the page.
Yeah, I mean, it should have been turned
Thank
a
you.
While
ago. That's enough out of you.
Just saying.
And you too. Everybody. I get it. Wasn't good. Not my best.
Just admit their season's over and we can turn the page for real.
I will not do that. That is not what I'm saying. I cannot do that. I will not do that.
So if they get blown out on Sunday, then what do you think
it's
about it?
It's 2-4. That's it.
I get it. You have a valid point.
Thank you.
And technically, yes, the season is not over.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll visit the Thursday night game. Giants and Eagles. Daboll throwing shade from New Northern Jersey that envelops all of the city of brotherly love. It's awesome. That's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Hyundai, all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid, an incredible SUV that I've been talking about for a while. It's got a spacious interior that's comfy for your entire crew. It can go off-road, so it's capable in that regard. 600 plus miles of range. That is an absurd number. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid is very special, and it becomes even more special when you're the driver behind the wheel. So check it all out. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603 for more details. Jeff in Detroit, let's take your call. Jeff. What's up, Jeffrey? How you been?
What's going on, family? How's things going?
What's on your mind, Jeff?
My cousins. What a difference a month makes.
Indeed,
sir. You know what? Allow me to be petty for a minute. First of all, wishing you safe travels, Uncle Rich. Disseminating the NFL across the world.
My business. But,
allow me to be petty for a second. About a month ago, a caller called in and suggested Detroit get rid of Jared Goff and go after Joe Burrow.
I heard that. Remember that one? I did, and I thought that was absurd, like that would never happen anyway, but it's okay. Okay.
Listen, another thing I want to make a point of, what a difference a change of scenery makes. Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield. I mean, when they get one man's trash is truly another man's treasure.
Well, and again, and thanks for the call, Jeff. It's always great to hear your voice and give us food for thought. Listen, Goff was successful out here. He went to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't meshing in a way that we're still unfamiliar why. Yeah. It was the end of an era between him and McVay. But you can't argue. Stafford won a Super Bowl here. He's got the Rams on a path to win another one this year if they can, you know, just block for their kicker. And Goff has got the Lions again on a path to do the same thing. You know, trades can be win-win. It can actually be win-win. Yep. And Goff is playing like an MVP. And as you know, I think Baker Mayfield is as well. And Baker Mayfield has been playing like a most valuable player this year. Four out of the five wins for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have come either tied or behind in the final throws of a game. They're winning games on a razor's edge, and this guy's been leading them. And he's also an MVP at the podium, to the point where we have created another segment on our program called Let's Bake. I have no idea what this one's about, but I have been told, it's about trash-talking the fans in Seattle. He was doing it in the tunnel before the game, and then he found that fan running off the field in victory afterwards. This was brought up to Baker Mayfield in another edition of Let's Bake.
Fire the cannons!
We don't take any shit. That's about it.
Let's Bake!
How much fun was it for you after jawing pregame in the tunnel with that Seahawks fan and being able to have the last word?
Pretty fun.
Baker, is there something where you kind of realize maybe your younger years, I don't know if you were as accepted for doing some of that stuff, and now it seems like it's a little bit more embraced. You know, people gravitate to it a little bit more. The narrative changes around that. Do you notice that?
Yeah, I mean, I told you guys that I try and not get too high, not get too low, which is something that I was not doing early on in my career. But you know, early on in my career, it's looked as cocky, immature. Now it's moxie. He's a dog. So it's same shit, different day. Just as long as you play well, they change the narrative. But you just got to be yourself, and I've always been like that.
Let's Bake.
To our credit, most of the time, if not the entire time, we were calling it moxie from the get-go. Listen.
We've kind of always liked Baker.
Wow. So, yeah. The reason why is when he planted that flag in the middle of Ohio Stadium, he had me at hello. I mean, that was it. That was it. We were even saying, like, what's he supposed to do? Shake the hand of the coach that in Cleveland?
Right, Hugh Jackson.
That didn't want him?
Yeah.
Like, we even said that when people were like, oh, that was classless.
Yeah.
He was doing that for the guys in the locker room. Bake, we see you, man. You always have.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.